Greetings, everybody. I'm honored that you would join and watch today because I want to say something. I want to say something that's going to be awesome. I want to say something that's going to change your perspective of your Christian walk with God forever. I want to say something that's going to go viral. Hundreds of thousands of people all across the world are going to listen to it over and over and over again. I want to say something like that. It's a good possibility that I will not. Not today. Now, I'm not being negative. I'm just being realistic with what God has called me to do today. And I want to talk a little bit about that. I want to say something sometimes like Francis Chan. He says, he gets the Bible out and he gets all serious. He's like, it just literally says that, you know. I want to say something sometimes like Bill Johnson, and he says something so revelationary, it's just so twitterable, you know. And then he says it, and then it's like he has this dramatic pause. Or I want to say something like Stephen Furtick and wear cool clothes and march across the stage and get loud and dramatic and stuff like that. Listen, I love those guys, right? Or sometimes I think about this. I want to be like one of those preachers that get all excited and they're shouting and spitting and sweating and pointing and throwing a fist and all this kind of stuff. And like that preacher from Coming to America when he says, "Take hold of the hand that rescued Daniel from the lion's den. Take hold of the hand that rescued Gilligan from the island." I would say stuff like that. But you see, God already has those people. God has a Bill Johnson. He doesn't need for me to preach like Bill Johnson. He's trying to get that in me. Right? He's trying to get, you've got to do you. I have to be very genuine with my relationship with God. Thus, I have to be very genuine with my ministry for God. I can't be like anybody else. I've tried it. I'm terrible at it. I have to be who God's called me to be, and I have to demonstrate the power within me that God has placed within me, because we're all different. And when we try to look too much alike, or when we think of our ministry or our example being like someone else's, sometimes we miss what God truly has for us. I caught myself saying this week something that I'm not proud of, but I said, "I wish I was more fun and interesting to listen to." And God immediately stopped me and said, "Are you not happy with what I've called you to do?" Ooh. "Are you not pleased with the anointing that I've given to you and the skills I've given to you?" And I mean, "Yes, Lord, I'm sorry. I will never say that again." I have to be me, and I have to be what God has called me to be. And I'm here today to encourage you to do the same thing and get that same mentality. Number one, realize that you have a ministry. If you're a Christian, God has a specific ministry for you. And number two, that specific ministry is going to look very different than anybody else's specific ministry. We're going to read from 1 Corinthians 2, 1 through 5. And as you're turning there in your Bibles, I want to lead us in a prayer. God, I thank you for this day, and I thank you for this message, for your word, and for your spirit, and for your anointing. I pray, God, that you would grow us into mature Christians, to spiritually stretch us and make us uncomfortable if necessary, to get us to be a brighter and bigger light and show people's love for you. In the name of Jesus, we pray, amen. Paul is writing this to the Corinthians here. And when I came to you, brethren, I did not come with superiority of speech or of wisdom, proclaiming to you the testimony of God. For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's his main message. It's just the gospel. Okay? Verse 3, I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. Now, I can relate to that because I can honestly say, listen, I'm with you in all this stuff, this pandemic that we're going through. I have a mask. I wear it sometimes. I haven't got to see my friends and family and my Bethel Church family, you know, very, very much, if at all, in quite a while. I miss them. Like you, I'm wondering, when is it going to be over? Like you, I'm wondering what's it going to look like for our economy? How's it going to impact our economy? What's church going to look like? Is it ever going to look the same? And should it ever look the same? So Paul says, he's right there with you. Verse 4, in my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom. I think I said this last week. God did not call us to convince other people to live like we do. He said, I'm not coming to you with persuasive words. Right? Okay. But in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. So here's Paul's ministry. Now again, we don't want to look just like Paul. I don't want to minister just like Paul. However, I obviously can learn from stuff from Paul. We can learn things from people that have been doing these things for a long time. They have a lot of experience and they're good at it, but we don't want to style ourselves and our ministry like others. So Paul says here, I'm not coming to you with persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and demonstration of the power. And so I was interested in this. This is Paul's ministry. Not persuasive words of wisdom, but demonstration of the Spirit. So I began to think about that, and I thought, how would I demonstrate a guitar? Compare it to this. So I bring out this acoustic guitar. And I'm not going to show you all the things that I can play, because I'm not demonstrating my talent or my skills or abilities on the guitar. I'm demonstrating the guitar. So I'm demonstrating the tone that it produces. Listen to the quality of the sound that comes out of it. I'm demonstrating this tonal quality and sound. What does it produce? Now I tie that in with the Holy Spirit, because when we're Christians, we have the Spirit of God living within us. The Spirit of God also produces things. Paul calls it fruit, right? Demonstration of the Spirit. If I am to demonstrate the Spirit, I'm going to show people what the Spirit within me produces. That was his ministry. And that gave me a very different idea about what he's talking about here. Because a lot of times we talk, when we say demonstration of the Spirit and power, we think of the miracles and what Jesus did. And all that's true and all of that's great. But if I want to demonstrate the Holy Spirit within me, I'm just going to show people the fruit that he produces within me. Not my ability, not my talents and skills, but the fruit that's within me. That ministry, that production of the Spirit's fruit inside me is going to look differently coming out of me than someone else. Here's the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians 5, 22 through 25. Think about this. This is what the Spirit of God produces. And the Spirit of God is within you as a Christian. It's the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Paul demonstrated the Spirit. He didn't rely on his words alone. His ministry was demonstrating the Spirit. Your ministry is going to look very different than Paul's ministry. It's going to look very different than mine. How God uses you is going to be very different than how God uses me. It could be that your ministry is to a certain type of people. I know people that minister to bikers. I know people that minister to the prison inmates and other parts of the country. Maybe your ministry is to fund missionary work in other parts of the world. Maybe you pray with your clients or your customers. The possibilities are endless. But you do have a ministry, and it's going to look very different than someone else's. God has a purpose and a design specifically for you, and it's bigger than your own life or circumstances. Sometimes we just simply need to be open for His Spirit to direct us in how to fulfill the ministry that He's designed for us. Because I believe that regardless of where you're at spiritually, your maturity level, however you want to frame that in your mind, wherever you're at, God has designed a purpose for you and a ministry for you. And God loves you, and He wants you to get to know Him better, and that's ultimately the first thing. But God wants you to share His love and that good news to somebody else. And it's going to, your way of doing it, it's going to look very different than my way of doing it, and that's okay. 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 7, Paul says this: Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Lord, same Spirit, sorry. And there are varieties of ministries, and the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God, who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Romans 12, 6, he also says this: Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. I believe that for far too long, many of us considered our Christian walk to be only about how we are living our own personal life. Yet over and over, we see Jesus and many others in the Bible teaching us that Christian life is all about how to treat, minister, and to love other people. Christianity is outward focused. It has to be. It has to be bigger than our own lives. It has to be so much more than me as a Christian making it from birth to death and not making too many mistakes in the meantime so that I get to go to heaven. It's got to be about more than that. There's something that God has for me to accomplish that's bigger. And we have a ministry. And I know that some of you may be thinking, well, you know, I'm not called to preach. I'm not called to work at a church even or anything like that. I'm not called to be a missionary. But you do still have a ministry. 2 Corinthians 5:18. Paul writes this: Now all these things are from God who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us. Back up. All these things are from God who reconciled us to Himself. He brings us back to Himself. He reconciles us to Himself through Christ. And then gave us the ministry of reconciliation. He has a ministry of reconciliation, and He says, here you go. That belongs to you. Do with that however you wish. Right? How about that? Namely, continues on in verse 19, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and He has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. You have a ministry. Be sure of that. As a Christian, you have a ministry. What that looks like may be very different than somebody else. So don't let other people talk bad, you know, don't take any of that into consideration when people talk bad about you or they think that you're not doing what you should be doing. Because if our life is bigger than us and we're wanting to do things bigger than just get from birth to death, and my life is made up of days, then in order for me to exemplify the good news of God's love and forgiveness in my life, I have to be intentional with every day, right? Because my life is made up of days, so my days needs to be intentional if I'm going to make my life bigger than just me. Jesus told him this way. He said in Luke 9:23, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." Now, I realize that this message is challenging and uncomfortable, possibly. And, you know, during this time when people are really wanting and expecting a message of encouragement and hope. But I want to say this. I feel like, number one, I have to be obedient. But number two, I believe that sometimes, many times, God's blessings and comes through us being obedient in our service to Him. If we're accomplishing what God has for us to accomplish, we're setting ourselves up for a better opportunity to receive His blessings. Two things I want to take from this lesson today. Remember, you have a ministry. And number two, it will not look exactly like any other ministry. You are unique. How you interact with God and how you serve God is going to be between you and God. This requires that we have a very genuine and personal and growing relationship with our Father God, right? 1 Peter 4:10 says, "As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." There you go. The greatest thing that we can do for others is to show them God's love. How you accomplish that is going to be between you and God, and you have to figure that out with your relationship with Him. That's why it's important that we don't go days upon days without talking to our Father God. Have a growing relationship. He wants to get to know you. He loves you, and He wants you to love Him and get to know Him back. And then when you're able to grow spiritually and your relationship grows with God, you'll begin to realize that a lot of what He wants you to do is to show that love to someone else. How you do that and how He does that through you is something that you two have to work out together. Because He has a plan. And I'm reminded of the scripture, the message that God gave to the exiles in Jeremiah 29:11. You've probably heard this, but God says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope." See, God loves you, and God is a very personal God. He's excited about showing you Himself and showing you all that He has planned for you to accomplish. If you're not a Christian or you're not saved today, please don't pass up this opportunity. Accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior and receive forgiveness for your past mistakes and sins. It may not mean that life is going to be a piece of cake from now on, but it will mean that you have a bright future in eternity, and we don't have to worry about going to hell, and God's going to be there at our sides all the time, and the love that we feel from God is fantastic. Don't let this opportunity go by without accepting Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. We don't know how much time we have left on this earth. And if you are a Christian, I want to challenge you and myself, because the fact that I just said, we really don't know how much time we have left here, any of us. So I challenge you. We have to find a way that God is working through us to show people His love every day. I feel a sense of urgency to get the gospel to as many people, because here's the deal. The effects of this pandemic, there's nothing to be afraid of. I'm more concerned about your eternity. Where are you spending eternity? That's far more important than whatever this pandemic is going to do. If you've made a decision of any kind for Christ today, or if you have any questions, I want you to please somehow contact us. And here's a couple of ways. If you're on Facebook or YouTube, you can comment. Put a comment down there. We're going to get back with you. Also, we have a Zoom meeting if you want to meet face-to-face with one of our pastors, Brother Keith Fife. You can join our Zoom meeting. The instructions are on our Facebook page. You can also call or text me anytime about anything. My number is 405-200-5712. You can get my number on the website, bcchoctaw.org. Call her anytime you want. Tell somebody about your decision for Christ, and I'd love to talk to you about it. You can call or text. And I'm honored that you would join me today. I want to say thank you. And I love you, but God loves you more. Take with you the ability to impact lives everywhere you go.